the Honorable Chief Justice and Justices of the Supreme Court of Ohio. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. The Honorable Supreme Court of Ohio is now in open session pursuant to adjournment.
Please be seated.
Good morning. Our first matter today, 2022-0262, in the matter of the City of Olmsted Township versus Chad Ritchie. For the appellant, Mr. Matthews.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Chief Justice Kennedy, members of the Ohio Supreme Court, may it please the court. Chief Justice Kennedy, I'd like to reserve 4 minutes for rebuttal, if I may.
You may.
Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Jim Matthews. It's my privilege to be here this morning on behalf of Olmsted Township. You've probably noted in the proceedings that Olmsted is denominated the City of Olmsted. For a practical matter, it means nothing. The matter that's before you this morning involves some misdemeanor criminal offenses that arose out of some transactions in Olmsted Township, and Olmsted Township is served by the Berea Municipal Court District. The misdemeanor charges that give rise to this matter are not particularly important. The only feature to those misdemeanors that are important is the fact that they were M1s, misdemeanors of the first degree. So under the code, of course, the maximum that the court had available for sentencing at the original sentencing was 180 days on each. This particular case is postured in a fashion to call upon the court to examine the particular misdemeanor sentencing approach that's utilized by the Berea Municipal Court as it's implementing the community control sanction provision of the code. We maintain on behalf of the township that the sentences that are before you conformed in all material respects to 29-29-25-A1A, and then the corresponding warning or notice that was required under A3C. And when you look at the original sentence with the time remaining to sentence on a future community control sanction, the sentences also conform to D4 because they do not exceed the original 180 days available on the M1 offenses. There is a particular feature of the record that I think I need to point out to you, and that is in the original sentencing orders from
September. Let me understand why there's standing to appeal.
Why there is standing?
Because yeah. There's been no sentence hasn't been in effect. There's been no injury. There's been no injury here. Why is there standing?
Well, I can tell you, Your Honor, if you look at the record in the Court of Appeals, it was a question that I raised. In the posture of the case, I was the appellee in that particular matter. I did raise, in fact, in the Court of Appeals level, that the matter was either not ripe or moot, whichever way you wanted to look at it, because of the unique feature where the 150 days had not actually been imposed for a community control violation. The problem I encounter now, however, is that I have a Court of Appeals decision that says the Berea Municipal Court must strike those 150 days, does not have them available for a prospective.
Well, why wouldn't we just hold that the issue was not ripe in the Court of Appeals and vacate their decision?
I can tell you I would be perfectly satisfied, and hopefully you appreciated or expected that from me, that I would be perfectly satisfied if the court were to vacate the finding of the Court of Appeals, find that there was nothing ripe for the Court of Appeals to determine because there had not been a finding of a community control violation coupled with the actual imposition of the 150 days. I would not have a problem with that. If I may, though, I'll just proceed in the event the court is not inclined to do that and reaches the merits of the matter. I have a record where under 29-25-25-A3C, the court not only included a provision in each of the original sentencing orders, a warning that in the event of a community control violation, the court could impose the maximum penalties for which the offense was originally charged, but we also have a provision in the record, which interestingly enough was actually directly acknowledged by the Court of Appeals in its opinion. Paragraph 2, right at the outset of the Court of Appeals opinion, there's the acknowledgement that in the sentencing hearing on September 13 of 2018, The Court of Appeals opinion is as follows. The trial court advised Ritchie at the hearing that, quote, failure to comply with all the conditions of probation will result in the imposition of the maximum jail, close quote. And then the Court of Appeals also mentions that at that particular portion of the transcript of the sentencing hearing, the court mentions to the defendant that the maximum jail available was the 180 days for the minor misdemeanor, or the first degree misdemeanors. So it's my position that the start of the analysis on this matter on the merits begins with looking at the fact that the trial court imposed a sentence here under 0.25A1A, not A1B.
Counsel, let me ask a question.
Yes, Your Honor.
When the sentence was imposed on Mr. Ritchie, when was that jail time slated to start? Because he moved the court to have it run concurrent with time on the other case, correct?
Yes, he did. And that's another unique feature to the case. It was actually, at the time of sentencing, Mr. Ritchie was currently serving time in prison in Lorain on some related felony charges. So the sentencing in the misdemeanor cases actually occurred while the defendant was serving time in prison on his felony cases. So the time, the court, I think the Court of Appeals actually mentions that at the sentencing hearing, the trial court stated the intent to keep the 120 days and would entertain a motion to reconsider the 120 days at the completion of the prison term. So at best, to answer your question directly, the sentence on the misdemeanors would have come after the service of time on the felony charges. But the court had indicated to Mr. Ritchie he would reconsider that sentence at the time of the conclusion of the prison term. Now,
can the court do that? I mean, is this equivalent to the court issuing a final judgment and then coming back and revisiting that final judgment?
No, I don't see it as revisiting the final judgment because the judgment was itself conclusive and direct. It provided for the 5 years of community control, which was the maximum under the code. It also then imposed the 30-day sentence on each of the offenses and provided the important feature, the warning or the notice under the code, that additional time might be imposed if, in fact, there were a violation of the community control sanction.
It's just all a matter of when it started.
It's all a matter of when it started.
But I thought that the, excuse me over here.
Yes, Your Honor.
I thought that in the dialogue that the judge had with the defendant, that the judge kind of dangled a carrot saying, you know, we're not going to impose the 120 days now. We're going to see how you do, and we can revisit the 120 days, which really isn't permissible because 120 days was a sentence, right?
Of the four misdemeanors, the 120 days was the sentence. That's correct. I think that it wasn't dangling anything to the defendant. It was simply mentioning that in light of the fact he was serving time on his felony, failure to adhere to the community control sanctions in the felony, that the court would consider then, as opposed to running them consecutive, to running them concurrent with the felony charges at the end of the felony time. And that is, from this record, exactly what happened. After the felony time was served, I believe it concluded in February of 2020, the defendant came back in Berea Municipal Court and asks to modify his sentence to have the sentences on the misdemeanors run concurrently with the time he served on the felonies, which the court approved. Now, importantly, on the community control sanction feature, a part of that entry that's significant is the court didn't simply say, we're going to run all of your misdemeanor offenses concurrently, but rather the court directly expressed that the time remaining then would be the 150 days on each offense maximum in the event of a community control violation. It's really that feature that gave rise to these appellate proceedings that bring us here and that I'm most concerned about for the court. I want to make sure that the Berea Municipal Court is authorized in a case like this where it has sentenced in this factor, this, according to this feature under A1A, and given an appropriate warning, that the court does in fact reserve time on a misdemeanant defendant in the event there is a community control sanction and or violation and a sanction required. My concern is with this case sitting out there, there's been this blending or coupling or, you know, mishing together of A1A, A1B, and D4 in such a fashion that I think this court can be instrumental in solving the problem presented by that mishing of them together and separate them. Yes, Judge.
Is it common practice in this court to delay a misdemeanor sentence till after a three-year felony sentence?
You know, I have no experience that would indicate that's common. I think it was a unique feature to this particular case, and I think it gave rise to some of the concerns that we have here because of the then agreeing to the motion to give him time served, but I don't think it's a common practice. But one thing I do believe is common in Berea is to use A1A and not A1B, and I think it's very crucial that the court recognize that the two features of the code are separate. They're not together like the Court of Appeals treated them. The General Assembly has provided judges the option of either sentencing under A1A and giving the warnings and reserving time in the event of community control violation, or utilizing B, which is the feature of sentencing, suspending all or part of the sentence, and then reserving that definite sentence in B to provide additional time in the event there is a violation of community control.
But wasn't the 20 days or the 30 days in each case part of the sentence?
Indeed, Your Honor, yes.
I mean, I understand, and there's, unlike felony sentencing, especially on community control, there's no requirement for misdemeanors that there be a definite sentence named at the time that the person's placed on community control, correct?
Correct. And that's commented on in all of the conflict cases that we've brought this conflict to you on, that the felony statute is written far differently. It provides that the court must provide a specific sentence, a specific jail time of what would result from a violation of community control. And all of the courts of appeals that have visited it, that are the key conflict cases, have said that there is no obligation in the misdemeanor statute to similarly provide a specific or a definite sentence. There's only the necessity of providing the warning that was clearly met in this particular case. The final comment I have, I'd like again to reserve some of my time, is how the Court of Appeals, to use a jury phrase if you will, seemed to lose its way when it got to the consideration of D4. It bootstrapped D4 into A1A and A1B in a fashion that makes it that much more confusing. D4, as we've argued in the brief, only serves as a limitation on the maximum amount of jail time that a misdemeanant may serve on an original sentence and for a community control violation, that it limits it to the maximum available on the offense for which the sanction had been imposed. The Court of Appeals, for whatever reason, ignored or jumped over a few of the words in that statute and related imposed to the original sentence and placed the burden on the Berea Municipal Court to have actually imposed the other 150 days in order to reserve them at all in the event of a community control violation. I see that as fundamentally a problem in the interpretation and application of this statute. And if this case continues to stand out there, it will do nothing but create additional confusion for those judges who wish to utilize the feature of 2929.25A1A in their sentencing. Unless there are any questions at this point, I would like to reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Thank you.
Very well. Thank you all.
Mr. Patatus. Good morning.
Good morning, Madam Chief Justice, Justices, Counsel. If I may, Justice Donnelly asked, is this a common feature of Berea Municipal Court? In my experience with Berea Municipal Court, this is not the common method. And I would say most courts that I have practiced in do not elect to use the A1A sentence. Most elect to use the A1B because that allows a court to use the judge's term here, to dangle a carrot in the stick. They suspend a sentence. Typically, it is on a misdemeanor of the first degree. We sentence you to 180 days. We suspend whatever that time is on a DUI, 177 days, and then you're committed to the three-day class or the three-day jail. And when we look at the language of A versus the language of B, that's what is at issue here. And then we need to look at the language of D4. When we dive into D4, D4 does not, and admittedly, I do not.
Before we get there, explain to me how you had standing to appeal. Generally, in order to appeal you have to have some injury. It's not speculative. Isn't this just purely speculative?
This, Your Honor, was to answer as quickly as I can, would be there would be an injury. This was a denial of the motion to modify the sentence to be a correct sentence, a sentence authorized by law. And I believe Daniel, out of the 11th District, speaks to the ability to appeal from a sentence that has not been executed on a violation. So here we have a sentence hanging over an individual's head that is not proper, and I do believe that when you have an improper sentence not authorized by law, that there is standing to appeal.
Why wouldn't he have to wait until the judge imposes the sentence? The judge may never impose the sentence.
The judge may never impose the sentence, Your Honor, but I believe an individual has the right to immediately appeal a sentence that is improper. If a judge sentences an individual to something that's contrary to law outside the law, I don't believe they have to wait to see if the judge acts illegally or contrary to law in the future. I believe they can appeal that. And
the judge hasn't imposed a sentence. The judge has essentially said that if you violate control, this is the sentence I will impose.
In that sentence that he said he would impose, Your Honor, 540 additional days would be far outside of what would be available by law under 2941.
And then if the judge tried to do that, you would have the opportunity to object at the sentencing hearing, say, no, judge, that's outside the law. The judge did it anyway. You'd have the opportunity to appeal.
Your Honor, I absolutely understand your position. My counter to that would be then, does the individual need to sit in jail for 540 days while waiting for review of an illegal sentence? I don't think the law requires or standing requirements require the actual placement in incarceration before he challenges that sentence.
You could ask for the trial judge to stay the sentence pending appeal, just like any other.
Wouldn't that be my counter? That would be, wouldn't that be speculative in nature if the trial court would grant it?
How would granting a stay be speculative in nature? That's something courts do all the time. Stays pending appeal.
Respectfully, Your Honor, in my experience with a Berea Municipal Court, I've never had a stay granted from that court. As it relates to the conflict questions and how the question here arises, the trial court imposed 30 days of actual jail under A1, four counts consecutive. And if we look at the September 2018 sentencing hearing, the trial court said, I'm sentencing you to 120 days of actual time, and then said, but I'll reconsider it. And I think that is the difference between an A1A sentence and an A1B sentence. In an A1B sentence, you suspend the sentence up front. In an A1A sentence, if you send somebody to 120 days in jail, but you remove them from jail early on a judicial release or on some type of work release program where you get them out of that incarceration, under D4, the trial court would then have whatever that remaining time is left to resentence on a probation violation. And when we look at the language of D4, just hypothetically saying that Judge Comstock in this case sentenced him to 120 days but let him out for simple math purposes, one day. So he has 119 days left. D4 says that the community control violation can be reimposed for whatever is remaining of not just the maximum for the offense, but it uses the language at the very, very end of time that was served. So it limits a limiting language in D4. And I think that is what is important here when we talk about construction, because that makes A1A and A1B different, where on B section sentence, you have the ability to just suspend the sentence up front. It's clearer, it's cleaner. Under A1, you put the person in jail, and if they serve their jail sentence, that's their jail sentence. Because that could be what is appropriate in the case. And here, that appears to be what was contemplated by Judge Comstock at first, because he does repeatedly say, and I believe it's on the 18th page of the transcript, that I'm going to give you 120 days, but he emphasizes, I will reconsider. And I think that is the carrot and stick analogy that the judge was using. I do not believe that A1 authorizes a sentence outside of that. When we come to...
Excuse me, but I think once a judge has determined a sentence, they can't just change it.
Well, I do agree with that, Your Honor, but I do believe there are the availability to... It's not changing the sentence, but it would be like a judicial release, for instance. When somebody is incarcerated, they can petition the court for early release, which then reserves the time. So that's not really a modification of sentence, but when they're removed from the incarceration, they have that extra time still remaining.
So we should take reconsider not literally, but broadly. Because literally, a judge doesn't have the ability to reconsider a sentence without some formal process that's in the statute.
I do agree with that, Your Honor. Perhaps it's my inartful use of the term reconsideration for, on a judicial release. If a person,
I think that's what the judge said, though.
It is, I'll reconsider. It is, Your Honor. You're correct. And here I do believe under A1A, he is the trial court, that is the sentence, 120 days. I do not believe when we read D4 there is any additional time available to left to give Mr. Ritchie if he was to violate probation, because that is the sentence, 120 days.
But isn't the 120 days part of community control? So when the judge said, now if you mess up on probation, you're going to get the maximum, and the maximum is 180 days.
And that's part of the issue with this case, because he couldn't get 180 days if he served 30 days on count one, the domestic violence. 180 days wouldn't be available for the trial court because he'd already served 30 days of it. And that's where the entire way in which this case was sentenced is completely improper, because it doesn't really fit either. And I raised this in my brief. It doesn't really fit either A1A or A1B, because it sounds like the judge is trying to suspend a sentence, but he doesn't do that.
But isn't there a continuum of sanctions on community control even in the municipal court? Yes. And so that the highest sanction would be so many days in jail, and then if you know, and this judge wasn't even required to give an exact number, but said, let me tell you, if you violate, you're going to get the maximum, which is 180 days. And the judge was specific and said, I have two different types of jail terms here, the 30 days that you're getting on each count, and then if you mess up on community control, I'm sure he said better words than that,
sure.
I'm going to impose the maximum. So can you help me understand why the judge couldn't do that?
Because this was sentenced under A1A, Your Honor. Under A1A, when we dive into the language, and I know the conflict question here has nothing to do with the notice requirement, but just whether or not the authority actually exists under an A1A sentence to execute an additional jail term for a violation, we have to look at the D section. And D2 starts with, if community control is violated, it goes through the laundry list of items on what the court can do, the escalating sanctions that are available. And when we get to D4, that's where in D4 the language gets messy. But it does end with the maximum term available is the time that the person was sentenced to for the offense minus the time that was served on the sanction that was imposed. It doesn't just simply say that the person may be sentenced to the maximum available for the statute. It says for the sanction that was imposed. And that's an important distinction, because otherwise there's absolutely no difference between the A sentence and the B sentence. The A sentence and the B sentence is completely meaningless legislatively. And when we look at what the language says, that's important, because there is a distinction. The court can say, hey, in this case under the A subsection, I'm going to give this person 30 days, and that's their jail sanction. And then I'm going to give them whatever term of probation I feel is important. Or alternatively, I think this person needs motivation to do better, so I'm going to sentence them under B. I'm going to give them the 180 days in jail, which most courts across the state do. And then I'm going to suspend that sentence. So if they do good on my probation, then I'm going to turn around and let them go. But if they do poorly, I'm going to impose. And that is a distinction not of insignificant. That's a significant distinction here. And let's not forget, when we look at the plea, I know the state or the city touched on the process here. Mr. Ritchie was never even notified of what the penalties he faced were. His counsel went into the plea hearing and just simply said, my client pleads no contest, waives reading of the complaint, waives any facts, waives any information. The court accepted the plea and kicked it out for sentencing.
But is there specific language in the revised code about suspending a sentence?
Yes, Your Honor. That would be the B section. The B section starts off, the B section actually even references the definitive range that's under 29-29-41, which says for a misdemeanor of the first degree is a sentence up to 180 days. That is completely absent from the A section. The A section just simply says impose a jail term. The B section says impose a jail term consistent with 29-29-41, suspend, I believe the exact language is suspend any, all, or part of it, and then placed on probation, or they use community control. And that, again, is an important distinction, because otherwise, if we just read it the way the city wants this case to be read, there is absolutely no difference between A and no difference between B. But I think there is when we read D4, which says that on an A sentence, a sentence under A, a person can only be put in jail for the time that is remaining on the sanction that was imposed and served. It doesn't simply say it can only be put on jail up to the maximum for the charge. It continues on. And I don't believe that this court should just strike that language. I think that this court should adopt that language, do what courts all across the state do. This is not a confusing case for the state. The conflict cases were decided on notice, the notice requirement.
But 292925 is entitled community control sanctions. So, and the question that I've asked at least once is, The 30 days in jail is part of the community control sanction, correct?
I believe it comes before. I believe the way the statute has it broken out, as the court could do jail, the court could do community control, or the court could do jail and then follow. I believe it uses the term followed by a term of community control, which then goes in 26 and 27 to include things like house arrest, residential treatment, alcohol treatment. Absolutely, Your Honor, what you say is the title of the section is community control sanctions. Absolutely. And I know this is different from the case law that was previously mentioned on felony sentencing. So here, the 30 days in jail, that is his jail sentence that is contemplated by, I believe it might even be the first part of Section A, talking about may impose a term of jail. Where the first part of the B subsection is may impose a term of jail consistent with 292941 and then suspend. That language is used in there. Now I'm paraphrasing when it comes to the B section. I apologize. But again, coming back to the conflict question, all of the conflict cases that were cited here have to do with the A3C notice requirement. Not a single one of those cases was decided on the issue that's before the court. For instance, in Coffer, as well as Netter, there was both objected to their sentence based on the judge in those cases just simply sentencing on a probation violation to the maximum term. The assignments of error in those cases. Netter was used by two other cases that were cited in the conflict, but they were all notification questions. And the question here before this court is, regardless of notification, does the court have the inherent power under A? And I think the answer to that question is a resounding no. And then as it relates to, again, I think that what the judge was trying to do was outside the bounds of 29, 25, especially when he was referencing, I'll reconsider the time. He had already imposed the time for this. The only switch was he made it concurrent rather than consecutive. Seeing no other questions, I'll yield the remaining balance of my time. I'd ask the court to affirm and just remand this matter back. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Matthews.
Thank you again, Your Honors. My objective this morning is singular. It's to protect the integrity of the manner of imposing community control that the Berea Municipal Court has elected under A1A. There is one common feature to A1A and A1B, and that is that some form of notice needs to be given to a misdemeanant defendant that he or she may face an augmented or additional penalty in the event of a community control violation. B accomplishes that by imposing a definite sentence and then allowing the court to suspend all or a portion of that sentence for the actual notice to the defendant of here is what you're exposed to in the event of a community control violation. A1A does it differently. Berea Municipal Court has elected to follow the General Assembly's option under A1A in the implementation of community control sanction for misdemeanors, and that is by providing for a jail sentence as part of community control, and then providing the requisite direct warning or notice. In this case, it's very clear, I don't even believe it's contested at all, not only is there the notice in the entries themselves, but there's the record of the exchange between the defendant and the court, making it clear that in the event of a community control violation, the court had the maximum available on each charge available for the community control sanction.
So, Mr. Matthews?
Yes, Judge.
Under A1A,
yes.
The last sentence says, if the court imposes a jail term upon the offender, the court may impose any community control sanction or combination of community control sanctions in addition to the jail term. And these community control sanctions include residential sanctions, but those residential sanctions don't include a jail term.
Correct.
So when this says jail and then in addition community control sanctions, are we still comfortable that that's all considered, that that jail term is considered a community control sanction when it doesn't fit as a residential community control sanctions under 2929.26?
Yeah, I see. I think it's more expansive because there are actually three provisions for community control sanctions that follow .25, the residential, non-residential, and other. I think the General Assembly here is identifying that the community control sanction is in addition to the jail sentence under A1A. It's the important feature to A1A, however, is there has to be some warning, since it's not a definite sentence like in B that is suspended. There has to be the warning given under C3, which was done here in this instance.
But do you agree that your interpretation essentially creates no difference between A and B?
No.
And why not?
I think it provides much clarity. This is the clarity that we need from this decision, that the General Assembly provided for two options. It literally says the court may do either A1A or A1B. A1B provides the notice to the defendant of a potential ramification for a community control violation of the definite sentence that's been suspended being the maximum you may be exposed to on a sanction. The A1A provides the General Assembly an additional feature, the warning given to the defendant that in the event of a community control violation, you may be back in front of me where I will impose a definite sentence at that point up to the maximum available on the offense for which the sanction was imposed. The statute just gives an option to the judge to go with A1A or A1B, notice being essential in both features. One is handled by the definite sentence that is suspended. The other is through the notice under C. And that's what this Berea Municipal Court is doing. And I'm here to try my best to preserve that mechanism of sentencing.
Would A1A be considered like a blended sentence, one that is prohibited in felony sentencing?
No. I don't see it a blended sentence at all. In fact, the word direct, I believe, is used in there. Directly impose a sentence under A1A. Instead of giving a definite sentence suspending all or part under B, the court provides a direct sentence, in this instance, 30 days, coupled with the caution or warning that in the event of a community control violation, you're back here and I have up to the maximum. The two features, and I know my time is over here, but the two features of the Court of Appeals decision that simply cannot survive in this mechanism for the Berea Municipal Court is suggesting that you must always impose a sentence in a misdemeanor sentencing in order to reserve the jail time, and that you must have it be a definite sentence in order to conform to D4. And it's simply not the way the statute reads. I would ask that the court entertain this case, use it as a mechanism to clarify the distinction between A1A and A1B, find that the Berea Municipal Court is properly utilizing A1A in its sentencing regime. I do appreciate the additional time and the questions this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you all. Have a good day.
We'll take the matter under advisement, and you will receive a decision by the court.